sing it with us, church. Put your hands together for the Lord this morning. Amen. How great is our God. I'm so thankful that you're here this morning in the house. That means that the Lord took care of you through the storm. Amen. And we're going to sing a song this morning that simply says, look what God has done for you. Second verse of that song, I don't know if you caught the words, but it says, when you're in trouble, he was your dearest friend. And when you needed someone, he was there to the end. It also talked about a time when you needed shelter. And he's been faithful and true. Aren't you thankful for that?
Amen.
Well, we needed some shelter last night, didn't we? And he kept us in the palm of his hand. I'm so thankful this morning. Let's pray for all those that have gone through some very difficult days over the past couple of days. Been some lives lost. But God's been gracious to us, and we're so thankful for that this morning. You're going to notice we do things just a little bit different this morning. We're going to try our best just to worship the Lord and just to follow him. Would you please pray for the choir this morning as we sing, he is the eye of your storm.
didn't understand why he wouldn't come as they made their way toward the other side. As they left the shore, they faced the storm, and suddenly they feared for their lives. But upon the sea there someone walked on the water as they listened for his cry. That's when they heard him call out their name, and tenderly he said, "It is I." He's the
eye of the storm, the center of my calm, the place where I find shelter, the place where I find warmth, the center of my ways, the keeper of my days.
When I can't feel the sunshine and my ship is tossed and torn, he's the
eye of the storm.
They didn't understand how the Prince of Peace could find them in the middle of their sea. But with a little faith in God's good grace, joy would overcome their disbelief. Now there are times in life when I face the storm, and I wonder if I ever will survive. That's when I hear him call out my name, and tenderly he says, "It is I." He's the
eye of the storm, the center of my calm, the place where I find shelter, the place where I find warmth, the center of my ways, the keeper of my days.
When I can't feel the sunshine and my ship is tossed and torn, he's the
eye of the storm.
Do not fear when he is near. Take hold of his strong hand. Listen closely to his words. He is
the great I am.
He's the eye of the storm,
the center of my calm, the place where I find shelter, the place where I find warmth, the center of my ways, the keeper of my days.
When I can't feel the sunshine and my ship is tossed and torn,
the
eye
of the storm.
Church, would you stand and sing that chorus with us this morning? There's truly something about the name of Jesus. Sing with us now. Give Jesus a hand clap of praise this morning. He's worthy. Amen. Thank you, church. You can be seated.
And good to see everybody. Hope you're doing well. And if you haven't been welcomed already by the presence of the Lord, welcome Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs. So good to see everybody. We're going to do everything in one time this morning. And I'm going to mention a few people pray for, and then a couple of announcements, and we'll take up offering. Please remember Leonard and Dolores Palmer. We mentioned them Wednesday night, and they have, for the time being, went to stay with their son Lynn in South Carolina. Brother Leonard's not doing well. They have taken him off of his trial medication for his cancer. His cancer has metastasized, and they just certainly need your prayers. Miss Dolores has her own health issues she's dealing with, and they went up there, and then they came back, I believe on Friday, something like that, to go to their doctors, and they're back up there, and a lot of back and forth, a lot of traveling. Just remember them, if you would. Miss Diane Ely is in need of your prayers continually for her infection that she's trying to recover from her back surgery, and this is going to be a long, drawn-out process, and so let's remember Diane and Brother Randy. Connie Teague, I believe she has an appointment this coming up Tuesday, and is that Tuesday, and she's struggling to get better. She had a big stomach surgery, and they're just worried. She's trying to get better, trying to get well, and so she's just not feeling good, so please remember the Teagues in your prayers. I continue to remember Brother Harold Doss, granddaughter, as she tries to get well with all of the mouth ulcers and things that she's dealing with. Brother Harold himself needs your prayers. He's here, but his family needs your prayers. Miss Dawn Daly, she's at home. She has not fully recovered from her fall that she had. She's struggling to get better. She needs your prayers. I believe Don Capistrano has a surgery coming soon. She needs your prayers. She's here this morning. And so we're praying for you, Miss Dawn. Also, Miss Lucy Godfrey, our newest member. Her son-in-law passed away this past week. And brother-in-law passed away this past week. And her family needs your prayers with that. Miss Claudia needs your prayers. She's at home, been struggling. Miss Glenda Henderson on the 25th, she's going for an eye surgery. They did a cataract surgery, but then there's some scar tissue left behind, and that's affected her, so she needs prayer for that. And I believe in Miss Cassie, did you already go back, or are you going back for that dental?
I'll go back tomorrow.
She goes back tomorrow. So there is a lot going on, and there's much more to add to it. The storm was just mentioned a moment ago. Brother Allen mentioned that. A lot of people are cleaning up today from where the storm went. Let's just remember all of those people. I sent out a message, a small group message this past week to certain men. We're going to be having us a brief meeting in Brother Ceylon's class just after the AM service this morning. If you received a message from me, then I want to talk to you. But anyway, we're looking forward to that this after church this morning. Baptism Sunday, next Sunday morning. Also, Youth Sunday, next Sunday morning and night. I'll be baptizing in the morning service as we kick it off. And then Brother Brian will bring the message. And then Sunday night, Brother CJ is going to be bringing the message. And so we're looking forward for Youth Sunday / Baptism Sunday. It's going to be a wonderful day doing that here at the church. And again, just grab a church bulletin, stay up to date what's going on, and we're getting ready to move into springtime and outreach, and we've got a couple different things on our radar that we'll mention to you at the right time as they develop that are exciting. And so stay on board with us, and we're just certainly trying to move forward for the Lord and be a blessing and a help to our community. All right, well, let's pray and bless the offering this morning, and as I take that up, and then just after that, we will bring the message. Father, we love you today. We thank you. We praise you for working in a special way, Lord, in our church this morning. No doubt there are some heavy hearts here. No doubt there are those that are watching, God, that are going through trials and tribulations that cannot even make it today. Those listening online, I pray, Father, that you would meet with them, meet with us. We didn't come together to just talk and laugh. We did come together for those things, plus, especially, hear from you and learn about your ways and your will for our life. This morning, Lord, bless the offering and let it be used for the ongoing ministry here at the church. Let us give to you a portion of that which you have blessed us with. And Father, I just pray for your healing hand upon those who are hurting physically, mentally even. And God, just give those direction that need guidance. We love you today. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Appreciate my they tap me. They've got messages running across the screens. I am well informed. If I don't get my update, it's on me.
But I appreciate them so very much and appreciate each and every one of you. And again, it's good to be here this morning. I look at our services not as just another service. If you get in that kind of mind frame, it just becomes routine and mundane. And I believe we just lose something in that. And so I got something special I want to share this morning, as I do each and every week. I feel like if I have the right message from the Lord, it's special. And indeed it is. So we're just going to continue to give you what the Lord has given me. If you have your Bibles, you can take them and make your way to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. I'm going to read one verse in just a moment, and that is verse number 9. 1 Peter 5, verse number 9 is where we're going to be. I do want to bow for a word of prayer and ask for God's help this morning. Ask the Holy Spirit to use His word and thoughts that we pondered to be a blessing to you and a help. Father, we love you. We come one more time in no other name but Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the song service and how that we did things this morning differently. Sometimes you got to do things differently to feel differently. So, Father, thank you for that. I pray for the next few moments, God, that you would hide me behind the cross. I pray for a clear head and a calm heart. Oh, Lord, help me to say only the things that will please you and to refrain from anything that will bring reproach upon your name. We love you today. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. And amen. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Notice, if you would, in verse number 9. 1 Peter 5, 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I want to call your attention to the phrase there where it says, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. My title this morning is The Fraternity of the Faith. The Fraternity of the Faith. The question is, what is exactly a fraternity? When we hear that word, we think of college and a group of people that have gone to school together and graduated. But the word fraternity here, it means a group of people sharing a common profession or interests. That's what a fraternity is. And so there can be all kinds of different fraternities. But I want to say this morning, within this walk of faith that we're on, there's a fraternity of men and women, boys and girls, that have embraced Jesus as their means of salvation. And we have a fraternity of the faith this morning. We have a common profession within this fraternity. We have common interests within this fraternity. This is the fraternity of the faith. I want to say this morning that this fraternity makes up the body of Christ. When a person accepts Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, they are placed into the body. And another scripture says that they are a part of the body, Christ being the head. And so we make up the body of Christ in this fraternity. We are the family of God, a fraternity of friends that are connected together through the new birth. Whether some like it or not, we're family. You don't choose your family. Your family, your biological family, you are born into that family. You are part of their family. And that's your family. When it comes to a spiritual family, we are born into God's family. Of course, another scripture says we are adopted into God's family. And so we are part of the family of God. And sometimes we're born biologically into an earthly family. Other times there's even adoption into earthly families. But this morning we make up this spiritual body. We are a fraternity of followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I asked the question this morning, why does this need to be shared? Why am I even bringing up the fact that there is a fraternity of the faith? I'll tell you why. Because within this fraternity, we all have at least one thing in common. And that again is found in verse number 9. Notice this. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We have afflictions in common. The meaning of the word afflictions here is hardship and pain even. We have afflictions in common. You don't have to raise your hand, but is anybody this morning going through a hardship of some kind? Is anybody this morning going through some kind of pain, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, just some kind of discomfort? Well, guess what? You are not alone. We have a fraternity. We have a family. And the Bible says that we have one thing in common at least. And the writer says, Peter, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We have several people and families this morning within this fraternity of believers and local assembly that are going through hardships and pain. Take a look at the prayer list. I mentioned some of them just a moment ago. We've had death. We have physical problems. We have those in the hospital. I just got word this morning that Ashley Bruton and her family, the entire household is sick. She's in the hospital this morning. She's connected to Calvary Children's Home. Okay? And so there's hardship and and we mentioned the Palmers, and they've lived here pretty much their whole life. Same address, and now they're up in South Carolina. And Brother Leonard is off that experiential medicine trying to help him eradicate his cancer, but it's metastasized. We have one thing at least in common, no matter what we differ on, no matter what we may even argue about at times, we have one thing in common, and that is we all experience affliction. Affliction. And if any one of us are not careful, we can feel like we are all alone. All alone. Has the devil ever told you that no one cares? Have you ever felt like no one has ever been through what you're going through? Have you ever felt like no one even cares about what you're going through? This morning, the truth is, we all undergo affliction. A lot are similar afflictions. Some are different and unique to you. But if you look hard enough, you'll even discover others have gone through the very same unique afflictions you're going through right now. But the enemy, our flesh likes for us to feel like that we are isolated on an island all to ourselves and nobody knows what we're going through. Well, some may not know what you're going through, but they themselves have been through some of the very same things. I had a breakfast Friday morning with a pastor friend of mine, and he wanted to see how I was doing. In return, I asked how he was doing. So at the end of the meeting, we found out that we are going and have gone through very similar things. And that's encouraging to know that you're not the only one going through what you're going through. Others have. And this morning, we are our brother's keeper. We are our sister's keeper. Let us endeavor to encourage one another, hold one another accountable even. The family of God ought to be a family that celebrates each other's victories, that pray for each other's problems, that moves forward with spiritual goals. So this morning I want to say that you are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. You may feel like you're alone, but according to the Word of God, you are not alone. You are just not alone. We are in this thing together. We have a fraternity of the faith that are here to back you up and bring out your best, not enable you and bring out your worst. Amen? But we are here to back you to bring out your best, not enable you to bring out your worst. And so what a blessing it is to be part of this fraternity of the faith. I want to mention some things this morning that hopefully will be a help and a blessing to you as we look at this topic. Number one, in verse number 8, as we look at this fraternity of the faith, we see in verse number 8, we are to keep the devil out. We are to keep the devil out of the fraternity. Notice what he says in verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I want to say this morning that we are to keep the devil out of our lives. Keep all the doors locked mentally. Keep all the doors locked within your heart. Be not ignorant of the devil's devices. All he needs is for someone to answer the door and let him in. And when he gets in, the devil destroys lives. The devil can attempt to destroy churches and schools. He likes to get in the job place, and he likes to get in the home place. And the only way that the devil can get in any of these places is if someone lets him in. So, have you let the devil in your life? Have you been hoodwinked by Satan somehow? Oh, I thought this relationship was going to be good, but it's bad. Oh, I thought this job was going to be good, but it's bad. Oh, I thought I was doing the right thing, but it ended up bad. Have you let the devil in? Now the question is, how do you keep the devil out? That's the question. Well, notice what he says in verse number 8 again. He says, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now I have much to say about this one verse. Not only we're to keep the devil out, but how we keep the devil out is answered in this first phrase. Through sobriety and vigilance. Let me say this, that the word sober does mean sobriety. The word vigilant means keep awake. It also means not drowsy. And so we see that that we are to be sober, we are to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is seeking opportunity. Now, what's the opposite of sobriety? It's intoxication. Now, I believe it goes without saying that alcohol and drugs will let the devil in. That goes without saying, right? Alcohol and drugs will let the devil in. But that's only part of it this morning that will let the devil in when it comes to intoxication. We shouldn't be intoxicated or distracted by the world or worldly things. You say, whew, he ain't talking about me. I'm not drinking beer. I'm not doing drugs. Well, guess what? That's not the only thing you can be intoxicated with. That's not the only thing that you can be influenced by. If you're living in this world, and listen, I'm not trying to be mean or a preacher of doom. I'm just trying to operate out of my God-given gift, and that is to herald the good news and to preach the gospel. If you are out here living in this world and then going to church, you're going along with the things of this world, you're intoxicated with some worldly things, trying to keep up with the image of this world, trying to be like the world, and you're trying to go to church, trying to be a Christian, you are tottering on a fence. You are a fence cowboy. You are a fence cowgirl. You are trying to live both lives. And what happens is when you are teeter-tottering on a fence, you're going to fall on one side. No man can serve two masters. He will either cleave to the one and hate the other. Listen, we need some people this morning who's going to keep the devil out of their lives, who's going to keep the devil out of the church, who's going to keep the devil out of the schools, who's going to keep the devil out of the workplace, who's going to keep the devil out of the home. And the only way to do that is through sobriety and vigilance this morning. Now, vigilant. Be sober. Be vigilant. Vigilant. Keep awake, not drowsy. I'm reminded when Jesus was in the garden and he had been walking with his men and talking with them and preparing them for his day of departure. But then they went into Gethsemane, the olive press is called. The first olive garden is Gethsemane. You know that? It really is. And so they were there. Jesus was getting ready to fulfill his Father's plan. And he's walking along and he says, you know, guys, what I'm talking about? Guys. And they're all huddled up together sleeping at the base of a tree. That's the way I look at it. Just snoring. Guys, could you not watch and pray for 1 hour? They were sleeping. They were not in tune. They were not in step. They were not vigilant. I think about Habakkuk in the Old Testament and how he says there is lawlessness in the land and the law is slack and nobody's being persecuted how they ought to. And the Lord showed up and spoke to Habakkuk and says, I have a plan. And you're not going to realize it whenever it happens because you're so caught up on what's going on now. Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my watch and I will see what he will say to me. And I will stand upon my watch. Habakkuk says, I will be present at my post. although lawlessness is taking place and the law is slack, the law of man is slack, nothing's being done, Habakkuk said, I will continue to stand at my post. I will be watchful. We've got too many people falling asleep on God. We've got too many pastors and preachers falling asleep on God, and teachers falling asleep on God, and parents falling asleep on God. Be watchful. Be at your post, because if you are not, there is a real enemy. And he is like a lion that's roaring, seeking whom he may devour. If you don't have time for your kids, why did you even have kids? Listen, anybody can have a child, but it takes a man or a woman to raise a child. And I'll go a step further than that. It takes a man of God or a woman of God to raise them correctly. The Bible says, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man. Talks about children there, the emphasis. Them arrows coming to this world crooked. Them arrows, when they go to make arrows like they did in Bible days, they would rip a branch off and it was all crooked and had limbs sticking out of it. And they would have to prepare for the day when that arrow would be used in battle or launched. So they began to strip away the limbs, the little limbs off the arrow, off the branch, shave it down, cut it to size, sharpen it, stick it in the quiver. Because one day, that mighty man is going to pull out that arrow and he's going to have to use it and let it go. We are shaping our children now. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. But listen, we have a small amount of time to shape our children and put a foundation under their feet of God. And don't waste your time as a parent wrapped up in the world and being distracted and intoxicated with the world. Allow Jesus to be your firm foundation. If not for you, do it for your kids. What a blessing this morning. We're to keep the devil out of our lives, out of our church, out of our schools, out of our jobs, out of our homes. How do you do that? Through sobriety and vigilance. Notice what he says in verse 8 again. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I want you to notice this. He says, your adversary, the devil. This morning, church, you're not my enemy. And I shouldn't be your enemy. There's only one enemy that we have, and it is the devil himself. It's the devil himself. We shouldn't be problematic with each other, and we shouldn't be enemies against one another. We are a fraternity of believers. There shouldn't be adversaries within the church that are problematic. There shouldn't be factions within the church or small groups of troublemakers. It just should never happen. Don't you realize that we're a family? We are a fraternity. We hold this dear church precious, and we uphold its purity so that we could come together and worship the Lord and hear from Him. If we were just playing church, why, come what may, do what you want, come on in, whatever it is. Today we're happy, tomorrow we die. But there's standards within the local church. There's obligations within the local church to God, and that's why we're here this morning. We are here trying to keep the devil out, because he is our adversary. He's our adversary. And so, this is what we see here in point number one. The devil is our adversary. The devil is our enemy. Let's come together and form a spiritual wall. How about that? And keep the enemy out. So how do you form a spiritual wall? How do we keep the devil out? I mean, we just mentioned already through sobriety and vigilance, but let me say this. We keep the devil out by prayer and dedication to not only read God's word, but heed God's word. That's how we do it. But then we form the spiritual wall by not being intoxicated with the world. That's how you do it. Now I want you to notice something else in verse number 8. He says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He says he is a roaring lion. This implies hunger. You ever get so hungry, your belly growls? Christy's like, Justin, are you there roaring again? Oh, yeah. I'm not hungry. I'm hungry. Feed me or else. I never said that to her. But it's often implied. This enemy, he's hungry this morning. He's not running about. He's walking about, and he is licking his chops. And he wants you and you and you, you, and he wants me. The lion here who's roaring, he's roaring because it implies hunger, but also it implies determination. He's letting it out. I'm hungry. Ha! I'm going to get somebody. The devil this morning is your wanting to be your door dasher. I've got something for you. It's the truth this morning. He's hungry. If he can't take us to hell, he wants to make our life miserable. Don't answer the door. He is determined. He is walking. He is roaring. You remember the message I preached a while back? It was after our first snow, I believe it was, about the lion in the pit on a snowy day. Now, chances are about that story, and one of David's men actually slew that lion, and I used the door over here as the lion's pit on the snowy day. And perhaps David's man took advantage of this. He went down into the pit. He heard a roar and he went after it. Now, possibly, allow me to speculate a little, possibly this lion had been in the community causing trouble. Possibly it had scared all the kids, and possibly it had even eaten and taken some lives and eaten some men within the town. Possibly. And so this man, David's man, one of his mighty men, he heard the roar and he ran towards the roar. He ran towards it. Because he knew if he avoided the roar, now I'm not contradicting myself, stay with me. If he avoided that roar, the attacks would keep on. There comes a point in time in life where you have to face your lions. As David's man did when he went down into that pit and slew that lion. That lion has caused too much trouble already. That lion has been destroying lives. And so he says, I'm going to take care of this lion. God's power came upon him, and he slew him. kind of lions are in your life this morning that are roaring? Now, ultimately, it's the devil. But our flesh can be problematic. We can be socializing with problematic people. It could be some addiction. It can be some kind of vice that has you. What is it? There comes a point in time when you got to face it. When you got to face it. And so this was a roaring lion, and he was hungry, and he was determined, seeking whom he may devour. Let me say this. Peter is warning sleeping shepherds. Peter is warning sleeping shepherds that the lion is after his little sheep. Slowly patrolling the premises, hungry and determined to destroy. And Peter is warning sleeping shepherds to awake. Peter is warning the people of God to awake. If you have a family, you have little sheep. If you are married, you have a God-given responsibility not just to cherish and nourish your flesh, but your spouses as well. Listen, Peter is warning that we are to awake, that we are to be sober, because there's a real adversary who is walking around, licking his chops, wanting to come to your house and destroy your family. Now, keep the devil out is point number one. When it comes to this fraternity of the faith, we are to keep the devil out. But then number two, when it comes to this fraternity of the faith, we are to keep standing strong. Look at verse number 9. It's in its entirety. Okay, verse 8, verse 9. Whom resist? Talking about us resisting the devil. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So we are to keep standing strong. The word resist here means stand. The word steadfast here means strong. So we are to keep standing strong, first of all, in the faith. Although the devil is after you, although you're experiencing afflictions, and although there are trying times in your life, you are to keep standing strong. In the faith. What does in the faith mean? It means keep trusting God. It means keep believing that God will see you through it. Keep believing that there's a reason for all the pain. Don't give up on Jesus this morning. He's faithful. He is true. He is a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. And if he has begun a good work in you by salvation and through salvation, the new birth, he will continue that work till kingdom come. This morning I want to tell you to stand strong in the faith. Trust in God, especially in difficulties. He's not going to fail you. Now I want to reference a couple verses. Number one, Ephesians 6:10. Notice this, Ephesians 6:10, down through verse number 13. You can follow along or watch along whenever. Ephesians 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, against the schemes, against the plots of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, in having done all to stand. If you haven't experienced a true evil day, one's coming. Now, I know there's some here this morning that could testify, Brother Justin, I've experienced that evil day. Job had an evil day when he lost it all. Now, there's evil going to always be with us, but there's that no good, horrible, very bad day. And peradventure, it's a day that's etched and burnt in your memory. It's a day possibly of sorrow and crying and discouragement and depression. It's a very bad day. And he tells us there is an evil day. There's an evil day. And he tells us that he wants us to be able to just be able to stand through it. Just stand. Some days spiritually, I mean, I'm running through the spiritual prairie field, you know. I mean, I'm just running and everything's great. But there's other days where I start my morning like this and my flesh says, there's no way. Brother Harold, look. There's days where I wake up and I'm like, there is no way. There is no way. There's no way that I'm going to make it and navigate through all the obstacles that I have today. There's just no way. But you know, God has proven to me time and time again that if I'll just take a little step, Brother Harold, he will supply the strength and energy to stand on that foot. And then I find after I've taken the next step, he provides energy and ability, mindset, stamina, and heart, courage to go on for the next step. See, we all like to be running through life and giggling, you know, picking flowers, you know, having fun. But folks, I want to tell you, that's what the TV projects life to be like. Life is dirty. Life is harsh. I'll even go and say, life is impossible without someone living on the inside of you that raised himself from the grave. Jesus Christ. I do not know how I made it through life without Jesus. I got saved on November 19th, 2002. Life before Christ was a blur. I mean, up and down the roads. Oh, my goodness, I'm not gloating over this. I'm sorrowful over this. But, I mean, experienced every drug you can think about, every high. I couldn't get no higher in my mind and with substances and just all of those wicked things, just up and down, up and down. I do not know. I mean, life was sad and depressing. I went to funerals of friends that died, and if I would have died with them, I would have been in hell too because I didn't accept Jesus at the moment. Just terrible. And so life since Christ, it's still life, but it's been amazing. My life, no, listen, a bad day now as a Christian is far better than a good day in sin as not being a Christian. I don't care where I was, what I was drinking, what I was drugging, what I was doing, who I was with, any of that could not surpass a bad day now as a believer, but knowing that I'm going to heaven when I die and there's purpose for my pain. That reality, Brother Allen, that reality says, you know what? Get behind me, devil. I'm going to face this day whether it kills me. I'm going to believe God that he'll give me what I need to get to 9 o'clock. And when I get to 9 o'clock, I'm going to believe God that he'll give me what I need to get to 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. And before you know it, it's time for the family to come home. And boy, I love family time. You know what it's like, family time in our house? What y'all want to DoorDash tonight? Nobody wants to cook. Everybody's been working all day. And I'll be the first to admit, I fell in love with DoorDash. Okay? I want supper to be easy. I want the entertainment to be great on TV. And I want the fellowship to be one. That is our time and our crazy, silly, ridiculous little dog we have. That some reason we love him so much. I mean, he's just great. But he's fully grown, and he's still a puppy. Anyway, listen. Stand strong. Stand strong. We all are going through something, and many times there are similar things. There is a fraternity for you to lean on. First of all, in verse number 9, we are to stand strong in the faith, but then, as I just said, we're to stand strong in the fraternity. Look what else that he says in our verse. In verse number 9 of 1 Peter 1 Peter 5, verse number 9, excuse me, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in it, that are in the world. We can stand strong, and we need to stand strong in the faith, but also in the fraternity. You are not in it alone. You know what the problem is? Many spiritual leaders, those in authority, and even just laymen, even just a Christian in general, are so scared to admit we don't have it all together. Especially behind the pulpit. Us pastors are so scared for others to think we don't have it all together. Well, y'all know me well enough to know. I've told you, I don't have it all together. I'm daily learning how to get it together. And so we're all on equal grounds this morning. Just so happens God put me here. And so let's learn together. Let's come together. Let's band together. Let's keep the devil out. Talking about this fraternity of the faith. Let me mention a third thing. We are to keep looking ahead. Verse number 10. He says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." This verse tells us some things that we should focus on. Now listen to me, and we'll be through shortly. We should focus on grace, eternal glory, temporary suffering, and character improvements. Notice, he uses in so many words the word provision. He says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." Provision. But the God of all grace. Meaning that there is grace to strengthen you for what you're going through. Grace is the endowment of power from a heavenly place to earth inside your mortal body. It's a real thing. You know it is. God supplies with grace. Let us focus on his grace, whom resist, I'm sorry, verse 10, but the God of all grace. So we're to focus on his provision, but then we are to focus on his place. He says, "Who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus." Eternal glory, that means heaven. He wants us to focus on not only his grace, but he wants us to focus on heaven. What's so great about heaven? Well, it's an eternity with God, and not spending an eternity in the lake of fire. But heaven is a place of no mores. No more worry. No more pain. No more heartache. No more tears. No more cares. No more death. No more of those things. So no wonder Peter is saying, I want you to keep looking ahead. Keep looking ahead at his provision. There's grace for you to carry on, but then there's a place for you to go, heaven. You're going to like this one. And then he says, there's the word patience. After that, ye have suffered a while. We know we're to be patient here. But also this is connected to temporary suffering. After that, ye have suffered a while. Can I encourage you this morning? Your suffering is only temporary. Compared to, listen, compared to eternity, your suffering and mine is temporary. Now, God has, there are times in life where we suffer temporarily. The Bible tells that there are seasons down here. But overall, when we go there, it will all be over. But your suffering, the thing that you're going through right now, is only temporary. The devil wants you to feel like no one else is going through what you're going through and no one cares. But God wants you to know that not only people have been through similar things and probably some of the same things, and you have a fraternity of people that care here, but guess what? That season is going to be over soon. I'm not afraid to say that. I don't care. We have our Pentecostal friends, and they have the name it and claim it stuff. I don't care. The Bible says there are different seasons and purposes. And what did the Lord tell Peter? He told him, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Peter denied the Lord. He went out and wept bitterly. But there was a new day for Peter. And so your season will change soon when God's perfect will is complete. But not only that, but then there's promotion here. Notice what he says in verse 10. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. The word perfect here means to repair. Have you ever thought that what you're going through might be God's way of actually repairing something? Have you ever thought about that? What I go through, has it ever dawned on me that what I'm going through, at times it may be God's way of repairing something that's broken in me? Peter also says, if need be, ye are in heaviness. If need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. In other words, God's saying, if I see it fit, if you need it, I will allow you to go through a time of suffering to repair you, something that's broken. But then he says, establish, make you perfect, establish. That just means turning resolutely. For there to be a change of mind, also, almost repentance, just a turn resolutely, meaning that you have made up your mind, you're going to make a change. Sometimes God will allow us to go through the fire so it can make a change in us. We may be going this way and intoxicated with the things of this world, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves in a fire. Maybe God is trying to release us from that intoxication of the world and free us up to turn us resolutely. The three Hebrews were in the fire, bound. But then there was a fourth man in the fire. Nebuchadnezzar, I see four men loose. They were thrown in that fire, bound. But now they're loose, and the fourth man was Jesus in the fire. We could say that Jesus uses the fire to burn our bands. He uses the fire to burn our bands, to diminish our vices. Let me mention another one. He says here, strengthen. That just means to empower. God is ultimately wanting to empower you and I through our times of trouble. He's wanting to sharpen our faith. He's wanting to empower us. But then he says, settle you. That word settle means consolidate or to make more solid. God is wanting us to be made more solid in His truth. He wants us to stand on His truth, be more solid, bolted to the Word through our circumstance. Run to the Word. Run to His promises. Run to prayer. God is wanting to settle us. He's wanting to consolidate us and make us more solid. He's wanting to empower us, turn us resolutely, repair us. this morning, let us focus on what God is doing behind all the chatter in our heads. Don't raise your hand, but a therapist said one time that people deal with a lot of mental chatter. Even when they're not around anybody, there's this dialogue taking place. What does so-and-so think about me? Did I do everything right today? Are they mad at me? I don't think I'm mad at them. No, I'm not mad at them. You know, did I say everything right in the Bible this morning? Is somebody going to scold me after church? Tell me I'm wrong? Listen, I deal with this chatter. Oh my gosh. I can't believe it. I'm the most. And look, I'm not asking for encouragement. I'm telling you how I feel, okay? Because you feel the same way. I'm a terrible pastor. I'm a terrible preacher. I don't do it like so-and-so. I've never done it like so-and-so. Who the heck is, forgive me, who in the world is Justin Hales? Justin Hales is not Snyder Turner. Justin Hales is not Brian Busby. Justin Hales is not whoever. Can I just be honest with you? I'm not the only one who deals with this. I know you do too. Why don't somebody get up and say it? Well, Justin Hales is not Mark Stroud. Justin Hales is not Joe Arthur. Justin Hales is not C.T. Townsend. Justin Hales, you're not nobody. Justin, you're not nobody. Get down, old boy. Quit that church. Resign. You're worthless. That's how I start my morning sometimes. Brother Allen, what should I do? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I have a family to lead, a church to lead. I have my own health to keep up. What should I do? I tell you what I should do. I should trust God if I know this is where I'm supposed to be. And I know this is where I'm supposed to be until God tells me your time and your family time is done here at Calvary. And so I will continue to get up. Don't feel bad. I'm not asking. Listen, I am not asking for an attaboy today. If you give it to me, I'll be upset. I'm being candid. I will get up from that chair and I will get behind this pulpit on Wednesday nights and on Sunday morning, Sunday nights until God says, I don't want you up out of that chair anymore. But I want to be totally honest with you. When that day comes, I'm going to be able to stand before God. I'll be able to walk away from this church and say, you know it, and I know it. I did my very best. We've tried to move things along. We've had adversity together. We've had good times together. But I'm going to keep on getting up out of that chair because I have a fraternity of brothers and sisters that love me and I love you. I'm going to keep on ignoring the enemy because I know he wants me to just throw in the towel and walk away. And that's the easiest thing to do. So, we're invested here right at 7 years. And once you're invested somewhere, it's not that easy to just walk away. Let this message and this conclusion be an eye-opener for everybody that we all feel like walking away from time to time. But you got to think about how long you've been invested somewhere and are you still being used there? And if you're not being used there, it doesn't matter how much you feel entitled to the position. It's time for you to walk away if you're causing problems. Amen? Amen. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. We praise you. I've tried to be helpful this morning. I've tried to be honest. But Father, at the same time and on the same token, I'm glad that I have a family here. And Calvary has it. We all are a family together the family of God. We have ups, we have downs. We experience ins and outs. But at the same time, Lord, help us to give it 110%. And if we ever shall get to the place, anybody in position at this church, anybody having to deal with this church at all, if we ever get to the place that we're serving out of entitlement rather than the call of God, we need to leave. We need to leave because it causes suffering and problems. But Father, I am thankful for what we have here. And to my knowledge, we all feel the call to continue on, people that's here. So help us do that, Lord. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before. We love you today and we thank you. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come, you come. This is a place where we do business with the Lord. We have a fraternity of men and women, boys and girls that are here together. Keep the devil out. Stand strong. Keep looking ahead. And then my last point was, we are to keep praising God. Keep praising God. Be yourself. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't try to live up to somebody else's expectation. You are you. We want you to be you this morning, as I have been being me, and will continue. As we have some praying, if you need to come.
Just as I am without
one. Listen, Lord. There's still time for others if you need to come. Amen. Well, we appreciate those coming this morning. Hope you enjoyed your time with us here at Calvary this morning. And I hope you got something from the message and how we shared our heart this morning. Remember this evening's service at 5 o'clock. And we will be in Ephesians 4 tonight looking at something. Kind of just going beyond what we looked at last Sunday morning and Wednesday night. We finished Paul's powerful prayer, and now we're moving into Paul's powerful preaching. And he mentioned some things about the church, the local church, the Ephesians. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight at 5 o'clock. Do we have anything?
Choir just meet me at 4:30.
Choir meets at 4:30, so remember that. All right, well, thank you so much for coming. And remember, men, we have a brief meeting in Ceylon's class. And everybody be safe and have a great afternoon. Consider yourself dismissed.